For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. Brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, and we both try to bring you a lot of good information all about you and your health. The show is streamlined through myvillagegreen.com. That's myvillagegreen.com. You can also visit the Village Green site or the store at Cedar Lane, and what you'll find in both locations are expert advice on supplements. And Village Green is really your resource for questions about your health. They carry a superior line of supplements from many manufacturers. And please do take a look at Village Green's own Pathway brands. They do offer something called Core Nutrition. So if you don't know anything about supplements, you want to improve your health, you're not sure who to go to, you can go to Village Green and you can give them information and they can help you. And the Core Nutrition is really this foundation where nutrition starts. So it starts with your age and gender and what would be ideal for you as a baseline nutritional program. And that's broken down into children, teens, men and women, and different stages. And then there are the health concerns. And this can be allergies, anti-aging, blood pressure, blood sugar problems, energy, eye health, gum health, bone health, PMS, surgical issues. So that list goes on and on. And this is where they can help you individualize so that your nutritional program is suitable to you. Now, today we are going to have a very interesting discussion with Dr. Norton Fishman. We're going to be talking about Lyme disease facts and myths. And I just want to tell you a little bit about Dr. Fishman. He has a unique medical practice, and it facilitates the pursuit of health through the best of conventional medicine, alternative and natural choices, nutritional medicine, and leading-edge technology. And I think that really is a good description of his practice. Now, what I'd like to do is prepare you for that discussion. We're going to talk about some of the basics of Lyme disease. Many of you may be familiar with this, but usually there's a new pearl, a piece of information that can be helpful to you. So let's talk about Lyme. First of all, it is not just one tick. There are many ticks and many types of insects that can infect a person with the spirochete that causes what we call Lyme disease. And that spirochete is a very persistent invasive organism. Now, the other fact is that it is not just the spirochete that you're exposed to. There are other kinds of organisms that can infect you through ticks and insect bites. And Dr. Fishman will talk about that during the show. Now, what about some of the symptoms? First of all, early symptoms may not be very obvious. It can be a early localized infection in the skin. You may or may not notice it. 50% of those people who have Lyme disease never see a tick and never experience a rash. So in the early stage, it may not be identified. And symptoms can include fatigue, kind of muscle pain, joint pain, headaches, fever, chills, neck stiffness, eye inflammation, and they may resolve spontaneously even if a therapy is not initiated. And it doesn't mean that you don't have Lyme. Lyme is very tricky. When we talk about Lyme, we're talking about this cluster of bugs or invaders. And if you're not treated in that early stage, the chances of cure are very slim. Lyme is considered curable if you have an aggressive treatment early on, and we will be talking about that later on in the show. And what we do see with a lot of people is chronic Lyme. And so as people progress, their symptoms may change, and it can occur weeks to months after the bite. And it really depends on your immune system, the degree to which you succumb to the organisms. And once you've got Lyme for an extended period of time, it really is not considered curable. The goal is to treat the organisms and improve the immune system. So symptoms related to the early Lyme disease occur in at least half of all untreated or inadequately treated patients. Now, one or more organ systems become involved, and less common symptoms are cardiac disturbances such as dizziness, syncope, dyspnea, that's difficulty breathing, chest pain, palpitations, and the most common cardiac abnormals are this atrioventricular block. There can be an inflammation of the heart, and that can be quite serious. So Lyme disease should be a suspect when that occurs. Other symptoms that are more common include the typical musculoskeletal and neurological symptoms, joint and muscle pain, arthritis, simply aches and pain. They can move around and are resistant to usual treatments, and that's kind of the thing to pay attention to. If you don't respond as you should, or as typically one would respond to treatments, then you've got something else and it's ongoing. Other kinds of involvements can include skin, can include depression and confusion, and more neurologic involvement. Some people call it neurolyme, and it can include Bell's palsy. It can include memory kinds of problems, mood disorders, and it can lead to even swelling in the brain and damage to the retina. In the late stages, these symptoms get more pervasive, they get more serious, and they are more resistant to standard treatments of using anti-inflammatories and treating the symptoms rather than identifying that there is a Lyme disease infection. So it affects every single part of the body. And I will remind you that that bullseye that is classical is not necessarily something that will be seen in most patients. Now, what to do when you find a tick on your body? Now, here's prevention. Let's talk about protection and prevention. Protect yourself. Check yourself, check family members and pets for ticks daily. Remove the tick properly and take it to the Department of Health laboratory or a testing facility. I'm going to give you more information on that. The ticks can be tested. Observe a person infected with Lyme and see if there are symptoms. And these symptoms may appear weeks, months, or even years after the bite. Treatable. Lyme in its initial stage is often treated. And you want to be aggressive. And if you're not aggressive, you're going to move into the chronic Lyme. Examine and evaluate. Early symptoms can include, as I mentioned before, headaches, stiff neck, numbness, tingling, fatigue, swollen glands, and migratory pains that come and go. Co-infections are possible. Testing is important, but it is not totally reliable. What is reliable is the patient's history. Young children between 5 and 12 are at the highest risk for being bitten by ticks because they often play in tick habitats. And children often find it difficult to explain their symptoms and how they're feeling. And the word obvious, a person may have Lyme disease without presenting the most obvious and classical symptoms. And then understand, I'm going through these words, protect yourself. So we're at the you understand. There are over 100 strains of Lyme disease in the U.S. There are more throughout the world. And so standard treatments may not work for those. are for recurring. Many people who suffer from Lyme disease experience symptoms that come and go over time, and continued symptoms or the development of new ones after treatment may be a sign of persistent infections. And symptoms, the symptoms of Lyme disease, also known as the great imitator, may mimic those of multiple sclerosis, lupus, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, mononucleosis, Alzheimer's, Guillain-Barré syndrome, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, Parkinson's disease, and even ADD, ADHD, and even GERD, the reflux disorder. Educate. The more you know and understand, the better able you will be to protect yourself and to seek the appropriate treatment. Lyme disease can affect behavioral and cognitive function, so pay attention to people who have more sudden onset of disorientation, irritability, depression, and anxiety. And finally, the FA fact, a person living in a Lyme endemic area should consider Lyme testing if suffering from any of these conditions we talked about. So when you find that tick and it's been engaged and you get it off your body, even if it hasn't been engaged, you can take that and you can have it tested. So what do you do first? The ticks feed on blood by inserting their mouth parts into the skin. And with a pair of tweezers, you can grasp the tick as close to the skin as possible near the head. Do not apply petroleum jelly or nail polish. And take care of the skin. Wash the area. Use a disinfectant. Now, put the tick in a bag and close it off, maybe double bag. You don't have to put it in any kind of formalin. You don't want to do that because the tick is going to be checked for DNA. And what you can do is send it to a test. Locally, we have Clongen Laboratories right in Germantown, Maryland. And you can go on their website, www.clongen.com, to get information on tick testing. So listeners, I've given you some baseline information. Please stay tuned. We'll be talking to Dr. Norton Fishman. Stay with us. After this break, we will have lots of information on Lyme facts and myths.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. This show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, trying to bring you a wide variety of good information all about you and your health. And we are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can tune in next Sunday for Kevin's discussion with Dr. Natasha Turner on the hormone diet. Now, today's guest will be Dr. Norton Fishman, and our subject is Lyme disease facts and myths. And it's a real honor to welcome you back to the show, Norty. People have listened to you before, and I think they're going to be very interested in what you have to say today. Okay, let's talk about how people present with Lyme disease in the office. What do you typically see, Dr. Fishman?
Great. As you know, Dana, few diseases have aroused more emotional tension in the press and public than Lyme disease, and a lot of confusion about what it is and how it presents. What I found in my office, and indeed I do a portion of the office is wellness, dealing with how to deal with aging successfully and good nutrition, but a large hunk of the patients, because of the current epidemic of Lyme, are coming because of illness. And the illness related in the end to Lyme disease. And they have three presentations, and I think this will provide a really excellent structure for us to look at the facts and myths of Lyme as we explore the three presentations. The first one, which is real obvious, is someone has had a tick bite. You know, they know they've been in the woods, or they've been in their garden, or they could be living in Cement City in D.C., and their neighbor brought their dog in to visit and dropped the tick off. And so they had a tick bite, they present because they had some rash, or they were just worried about the tick bite, and were given some antibiotics for a short period of time. And they come back and say, you know, they say I've had adequate treatment, but I'm still sick. Presentation two is they have been treated in the past, whether it was months ago or even years ago, got better, and now are presenting with strange symptoms that are poorly explained. Question is, have they relapsed? But they are, something's going on, they're not well. And the third group, which is real interesting, are people who come, they've never known they've had tick or bites or Lyme. In fact, they may not even know what Lyme disease is. But they have continuing unexplained symptoms. Things are wrong, and they're not able to get answers. They've often seen five or more good doctors without a good answer.
And those are the ones that are really struggling, and they've been at this a long time, too.
Correct. And I have to give them credit, because sometimes too often people sort of give up, or they take, you know, the authoritarian, there's nothing wrong with you, and they sort of give up. And often in the nature of the practice I have, we'll see the people who are taking care of themselves. They're saying, wait a minute, I know me, and something's wrong, and I need to get answers.
So their persistence pays off. And
yep.
So let's talk about these three presentations. I like the way you break them down and how that ties in to how you treat the patient and also some of the facts and myths about Lyme.
Good. Well, let's take number one, which is the common one, and we're seeing it right now, people getting bit by ticks. The ticks are out there. They're out there in the early spring. We've had even people show up with a bite in December.
Wow. So,
and, of course, with the weather changing we're having and sometimes the winters not being as cold, many of these ticks are wintering over pretty well, and they seem to be in greater number. One of the problems in when they've had the tick bite is, and I think sort of tragic, is it isn't acknowledged or recognized. So someone comes in and they may get a rash at the site of the bite, but it isn't the perfect bullseye, which is the classic presentation. And it's sort of ignored. They say, it looks like a spider bite. And by the way, tick bites don't hurt, and spider bites do. And they say, just a rash. It's nothing to worry about. Or they don't get any rash at all. A number of people can actually get Lyme. It's wonderful if they get the typical rash, because then it's hallelujah, we know what you have. But they may have no rash or just a tiny little mark where the bite existed, and yet they've still been infected. And so waiting, having to have the perfect rash is not the answer. Because of the severity of the chronic disease, it's better to risk undertreating, rather overtreating, than to risk undertreating.
Oh, I would agree wholeheartedly. How long does the tick need to be engaged before people are infected? Is there data on that?
There's no good data that I'm aware of. A tick normally will be on you if you haven't noticed it or taken it off. It'll feed for maybe 3 to 5 days because it's getting a very big blood meal. This is not a mosquito bite that comes and goes. But how long in that time before you know you've been infected, there's all kinds of answers, but I think they're conjectures rather than real information. So I think if the tick's been on you for any period of time, especially if there's a reaction to it, you have to consider you may have been infected.
Good advice.
And then what happens is these people then, and often sometimes they'll say, well, you haven't been real sick, you didn't get the flu, you didn't get the Bell's palsy, sort of the classic signs. And the answer is you can be infected without getting all the classic signs. And finally, the last part of this, and this leads into perhaps the second presentation, is that they were treated for a short period of time. It's almost crazy in a way that there's a fear of antibiotics, when the truth is antibiotics have become a major tool of medicine that saved many, many lives when used appropriately and with due diligence, which is what, of course, needs to be done in Lyme disease. And so people are treated for anywhere from 10 to 28 days as if they're magic numbers. And then the people say, you've treated me with supposedly the adequate amount of antibiotic, and yet I'm still sick. And then that sickness is being ignored. And so they'll come back and say, I think I need to have more treatment. And they're usually right, because we usually, when we feel there is Lyme present or infection has been transmitted, we'll go for a good 6 weeks of treatment to try to make sure we're eradicating it. And I found that even when someone's been treated perhaps appropriately for the 6 weeks, that the chronic disease may still evolve, unfortunately.
So even 6 weeks isn't a guarantee, and people are better trying to be more aggressive, as you said, than
yes,
under.
And that sort of goes against medicine, because we want our patients to be sweet and compliant and do everything we tell them. The ones who aren't so sweet are the ones who often do better.
That's right. We're going to talk more about this in the next segment, but Dr. Fishman, you have such a unique medical practice. Tell us a little bit about your medical practice.
Well, actually, in a way, Dana, thanks to you, when I first got up here into Maryland about 15, 16 years ago, I was a primary care internist who wanted to learn about nutrition, and you were one of my chief mentors.
Well, thank you.
And what I learned that I wasn't taught in medical school is that nutrition and paying attention to the use of proper supplements and herbals is biochemistry. Too often I was being inched forward in my training to think that it was home economics. And I think what we've been doing in the practice is integrating, keeping one foot in the camp of indeed regular medicine, pharmaceuticals, surgicals, which is necessary, essential at the time, plus being open to the softer and sometimes more long-lasting and easier techniques, of course, of lifestyle, of course, of nutrition, exercise. And if alternative approaches are helpful, I'm pragmatic. I'm not an alternative practitioner. I don't know how to do acupuncture or homeopathy, but I'm not against it. I'm a pragmatist. If something is working for a patient, is not causing harm, hallelujah. That's another tool that I and the patient now have access to.
Excellent. And I think it's interesting for our listening audience to know that you are a certified nutrition specialist and that you're a diplomat in anti-aging longevity medicine, and that CNS is hard to qualify for. And I think that you should be very proud of all of your expertise and certifications.
And one other certification, which is the foot in the other camp that I'm proud of, is as a certified internist, I'm also in an honorary society called, and I'm a fellow of the American College of Physicians. So I like, so it's been important for me to indeed be on both sides of the fence, because I think that's what our people and our patients need.
And you have done it very well. Give our listeners a little bit of information about how they can get in touch with you and your website.
Right. We're located in Rockville, Maryland, and right on the north end, just off of 270. And our website is ohpmd.com. And that gives real access to new patients or even what we're about. Our phone number in the office is 301-330-9430. But again, the webpage, I think, is a great source to sort of see who are we and what we're about. Again, it's ohpmd.com.
Well, what we're going to do is talk more in the next segments about what some of the treatments are. And as you mentioned, the facts and myths. And I think we've had a good background of the three types of presentations. Just summarize those three presentations before we close for this segment.
Well, number one is someone who's had a current tick bite. They recognize that they may still be sick, even though they've had a course of what's been called adequate therapy, and they say, or they've had a short course. They're not real sick, but they are concerned about whether they've had sufficient therapy. Number two is someone who's been treated before, apparently got better, and now got worse. Is it a relapse of the infection? Is it a persistence of the infection all along? And the third one is someone who has, and I will get into some of that, unexplained symptoms, present perhaps being called chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia, and may not know anything about Lyme or even have a wonderment about it, and it turns out that that may be what's been underlying all along, even though they never knew they had a tick bite but were exposed.
Excellent. Good summary. And for those of you who are just tuning in, this is Dana Lake with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, and we're brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more interesting information on Lyme disease, facts and myths with Dr. Norton Fishman.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, alternating the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, bringing you a lot of good information about your health. And a reminder that we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And next Sunday, Kevin will have a discussion with Dr. Natasha Turner on the hormone diet. Now, we've been having an interesting discussion with Dr. Norton Fishman, and we're talking about Lyme facts and myths. And Dr. Fishman is an expert in Lyme. He has a traditional and alternative approach to medicine. We talked about that in the first segment. And we talked about the three presentations of Lyme. So, Dr. Fishman, let's go into some more details for our listeners.
Great. Well, getting into the second presentation, and it'll tie into the first, there's a real important myth that people have to appreciate. Too often, they'll end up saying, we're not, you know, either when they just got the bite, or later they'll say, we're going to not treat you until we test you and see if your test came up positive. And that has several myths attached to it. Number one, if it's brand new or virgin Lyme, you know, if they're tested, you know, they almost need to be treated before the test becomes positive because it'll take time for the body to make antibodies. The testing in Lyme, unfortunately, is called serologic. And what that means is instead of culturing like we would do at a strep where you see the organism, there it is, there's no question, this is indirect. What we're measuring is whether the body immune system has responded to the insult to the infecting organism by making antibodies. And it takes a while if the infection is brand new, sometimes over a week or more, for the body to recognize and then make the antibodies. So if the testing is done real early, it may miss. Secondly, and this has been a real issue, the testing is proving to be inadequate. It's great when it picks up things, but the nature of the testing is not the same quality, let us say, as a pregnancy test, which is great. We say to the young lady, you is or you ain't. And that mistake is applied to Lyme. So often a patient will get a test, and the test does come back negative, and the doctor says, you ain't. And the answer is, that may not be true, because a negative test never rules out Lyme. This is a key. It only can confirm it. It can't rule it out. The two-tiered testing that's been put forward by the CDC is really strange. They've done studies. The first one is like a screening test. And my concept of a screening test was taught is it tries to pick up everybody, even someone who didn't belong. You know, and then later you weed it out. And the screening test called an ELISA, or an IFA that they're doing, there's like eight different commercial labs that can do this, and these are done by things like LabCorp or Quest, or even the universities do them. They've been tested out, and their sensitivity has been as low as one-third, meaning they picked up only one-third of the cases, up to 60%, which means they still miss 40% of the cases. Well, that's not a screening test by definition. And the tests aren't the same, so it depends on which company the lab is using. So the testing is not adequate to completely tell somebody they don't have Lyme. And what that leads to is then people have been treated. They may have been treated inadequately length a lot of times the experts in Lyme will say, who say we know this, we read the articles, and the articles say we only need to treat you 10 or 28 days. The main article that's quoted, without getting a lot of detail, by Dr. Klemper, has been pointed out by other experts to be inadequate. It was statistically not powered enough. It didn't deal with enough people to create a correct statistic. It didn't last long enough to see if there were later effects. It didn't reach its endpoint. And this study has been used as the gold standard, and I'm afraid it's tarnished. So not treating long enough, not treating at all because the test was negative, leads to part two, where the patient comes and says, I was treated, or I wasn't treated, I was tick bit, and now I'm really sick. What's going on? And this, and often they have symptoms that are really generalized. Commonly is fatigue. I'm getting exhausted when I'm doing my housework. I've had people who are triathlon runners who all of a sudden it's a big deal for them to even get to go to work. Some people actually almost are stuck in bed. Housewives who can't take care of their children because they're so fatigued. It could be mental fatigue. They find cognitive issues. They can't think straight. They can't concentrate. They're forgetting words. And we see smart people in my practice, high performers. And all of a sudden, their people in their work are covering them because they can't remember. They can't do their tasks. I used to be smart. Did I suddenly become stupid? And we don't suddenly become stupid. They often have other things. They'll have neurologic signs that don't make any sense. They'll have weird symptoms. They'll end up being called chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. They're often called neurotic. Sometimes they're just called crazy. Behind their back, they're often called malingering. And these are sick people. So when we get this package where people have been seen five times without answers, you rule out everything else because there's only a million diseases. You can't rule out everything. As far as I'm concerned, it's Lyme until you know it ain't.
Well, it's an excellent approach because it's dangerous to miss it.
Yes, because it isn't necessarily fatal. It rarely does that. In a way, epidemics like AIDS, because of their fatality, or the Asian, or the new bird flu, get attention because people die from this. But it does rob people of their life in a different way. It robs the quality of their life. It robs their function. I've seen 20-year-olds having to go on disability. That's crazy. I've seen people lose their families because their spouses don't understand that they're ill, or they can't take care of their families or their job. So that's pretty serious.
It certainly is. And I also understand that while Lyme disease doesn't necessarily kill people, it makes them miserable, but that the suicide rate is relatively high among those with Lyme.
What happens, especially if they're being denied their diagnosis, they're feeling like they're being maligned or not understood or heard, is if they can get very hopeless. And yes, suicide is a fatality. That is a form of mortality. And I think perhaps most Lyme people end up dying because of that. Although the death rate, from what I see, is not that great, it's the morbidity that's that great.
Yes, yes. Difference between morbidity and mortality. Let's talk more about some myths. The test, your explanation on the test was excellent.
Yes, and so what we've had to do is we've had to get into what we'll call specialty labs, who are doing advanced testing. One form of it for the spirochete of Lyme is called a Western blot. And again, we're finding that the CDC technique of doing the Western blot and their criteria for positive and negative, they're stating, but it isn't always paid attention to, is for epidemiologic purposes. In other words, they're not clinicians. They don't take care of patients. Their job for the country is to try to understand epidemics. And so they end up creating very strict requirements for the diagnosis of Lyme, which in a way is harmful to the public. I almost wish they had two systems. One is the system they're happy with is epidemiologists, very strict, and then a form of a skunk works that really looked at where the disease is, because I don't think the country is getting the information it needs to know how current and how frequent this disease is. And so we use a lab, and there's other labs out there, and I don't get paid by them, but I do use them because they've been helpful, called Igenix out in Palo Alto, California, that produces more bands, examines more spirochete antibodies for the testing, and gives us better results. And even those results are at best 90% of who has Lyme, and those people even know that. So there's no absolute testing.
So we're treating people, not paperwork.
I think that's the ultimate key, is that in medicine, way back when I started, I'm afraid, a good while ago, we didn't have CAT scans or MRIs, which I'm not again. I think they're wonderful. But we actually had to sit and talk to the patient, and sometimes it took a while. We couldn't get the story in 10 minutes. And then we had to do an exam, and that's how we came to our diagnosis. And in Lyme, the laboratory test is second. What's first is the story. And sometimes the story, because it's complex, these are literally the most complex and difficult patients I've had to deal with in a 50-year career. Takes time to get the pieces together to see if there's a pattern present in the story that raises the question of, could Lyme be here?
It reminds me of something that I learned in professional training, that if you ask enough questions and listen, the patient will tell you what's wrong with them.
Absolutely. They may not even know they're telling you, but they are. And sometimes we re-inform them, because a key piece of Lyme, because it's such a pervasive illness, is patient education about the presentation. What I find fascinating is a majority of our patients come to us referred by other patients. And these are people who are not trying to be doctors. They're just peoples out there. And they're talking to their friends or their relatives. And, of course, they say, well, how you doing? And then the person starts giving them their story. And they say, oh, my goodness, you've got Lyme disease. And those patients are usually right.
Yes, I think that's interesting. And I know from the many patients that I've seen who have had the advantage of working with you, what they appreciate is the thorough history and the thorough workup, something they're not necessarily used to achieving in a physician's office. Now, when we go to the final segment, we'll talk more about myths and facts with regard to Lyme and any good tidbits that you want to leave our listeners with. And if you've just tuned in, listeners, we're with The Essentials of Healthy Living. I'm Dana Lake, the co-host, and this is 1500 AM, and we're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more interesting information on Lyme disease myths and facts with Dr. Norton Fishman.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals.
Committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. I'm Dana Lake, alternating the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, and we try to bring you some really interesting information about you and your health. And next Sunday at 10 a.m., you can tune in for Kevin's discussion with Dr. Natasha Turner on the hormone diet. We have been having a fascinating discussion with Dr. Norton Fishman, and our subject is Lyme disease facts and myths. And we've covered the presentation and the fact that tests are not necessarily reliable, that what's more important is the patient's story, the patient's history, and tests will give you information, but they're not definitive. And I really like, Dr. Fishman, that you compared it to the pregnancy test, which is, you know, an accurate test, and it tells you if you are pregnant or you're not, whereas the Lyme tests are not that accurate. So what else can we cover in this final segment that will be helpful to our listeners?
Well, I think what this all leads to is people can have a tick bite, get inadequately treated in the sense, and even though under the terms of adequate treatment, it was correct because by definition, adequate treatment is 10 to 30 days. But by truth, if they're still sick, that was inadequate. Treatment should make you not sick.
Right.
If you're still sick, then you weren't adequately treated, even though the book says you were. And one of the problems is that ticks can't read the book. So they don't know what they're supposed to do. They just do what they do. And sometimes the so-called book that tells you what Lyme does ain't connected to the reality of what the tick does. As people aren't diagnosed or they're treated and the disease is still present, what happens is they end up still having symptoms. They end up relapsing later. Sometimes they actually may do fine because you actually did treat the disease, but you didn't eliminate it. And we now know from the biologists and bacteriologists that the organisms, certainly the spirochete, can go and have ways of evading the treatment. They know that if the spirochete is treated with antibiotics real hard, you may kill 90% of them, which is fantastic. But 10% are forms called persisters, and nature is very good at helping these buggers because they form cysts or they hibernate, and they sort of go to sleep and don't take in the poison you just gave them. And when you quit, they wake up again. Sometimes they can go to sleep for years, and then when you undergo a major stress in your life, something that you couldn't handle, your immune system tanks, and the organisms wake up and come back. And we now know that we all harbor many organisms, like herpes viruses. Shingles is a shingles comes from chickenpox, herpes virus, from a virus we had a long time ago. Our immune system dropped. We got a steroid, we got old, and all of a sudden we got shingles. And syphilis, which is a spirochete, has taught us the same thing. So we know that there are persisting infections. And to, you know, summarily say that Lyme couldn't be that flies in the face of biology and bacteriology, because the bacteriologists are showing that the Lyme or the spirochete of Lyme does persist, even when treated with antibiotics. And one more point that's sort of interesting is Lyme may be more than a spirochete. I use the term Lyme for want of a better term, but unfortunately it is a four-letter word. And what I'm finding is that most of the ticks, and people up, you know, clinically I'm finding this bacteriologically, Eva Sapir up in New Haven, Connecticut, and her students are finding this when they study ticks, they're multi-infected. So Lyme is really needs to be considered a polymicrobial disease, meaning you just inherited several organisms that may work in synergy against you. And if you just feel like I just go after a spirochete, I solve Lyme, you may not have. And Dana, you know, one of the most interesting things, unfortunately, is the organism called Babesia, which is now showing up in our blood transfusion stock. You know, they're now recognizing that it's been transmitted by people into transfusions, and then people get the transfusion and get sick. But Babesia is a key organism that I see in people with Lyme disease. And another organism, just to mention names, is called Bartonella. So perhaps if treatment didn't take care of those co-organisms, we still have this syndrome, which we'll call Lyme.
So it's possible for someone to be treated for Lyme, and perhaps the Lyme spirochete either declines or resolves, depending on whether it's in the acute stage or not. But if these other polymicrobial infections are not addressed, the patient's going to be as sick, and if they're not tested, then the physician doesn't even know that the infection's there.
And so that's absolutely correct. And so the patient comes in presenting, you know, I don't have Lyme, my test is negative, but I have fatigue, I have joint pain, my brain doesn't work, I have neurologic problems, what's wrong with me? I have mood issues. And we end up, unfortunately, then finding these patients very difficult. We, you know, often doctors feel that these are, you know, patients who are too demanding, too difficult, you know. And too often when we as doctors or any professional find we reach a space that we can't have find an answer to or we don't have a tool for, we don't blame the problem, we blame the person who brought the problem. So all of a sudden, instead of it's the patient's illness that's, you know, bothering me, it must be the patient who's wrong, because I should know everything. And if I don't know what's wrong with you, it's your fault.
Well, that has been a strategy for a long time in the profession, unfortunately.
Yeah. So obviously you're depressed, you know, so you have a Prozac deficiency. I'll give you an antidepressant. And by the way, if your life is going down the toilet with this disease, and you're not having some depression, then you're not paying attention.
Well put. Yes, it is. It's distressing. And recovery and improvement, let's talk a little bit about that, what it takes to get over Lyme and these polymicrobial infections.
Right. I think the third, you mentioned, you know, the story, the testing. As far as diagnosis, the third part, if one goes into that based on the story and testing, and sometimes proceeding with patient consent even when the testing is not adequate to really prove it but just raise suspicion, is treatment. How does the patient respond to therapy? And if there's a response to therapy, then that is, ends up encircled, you know, proving the diagnosis was on target. And the therapy can be multifold and often has to be. I find that most often, antibiotics are required because we're dealing with microorganisms. In the case of Babesia, it's a combination of antibiotics and antimalarials because it's a protozoa akin to malaria. And sometimes these antibiotics may need to be used as part of a persistent infection for a long period of time that can go easily over a year. And people suddenly go aghast. They say, oh, my God, antibiotics for a year. You know, I understand my organs will fall out of my body. And the answer is people have been frightened unnecessarily. They need to be given with due diligence. We need to watch the bowel with probiotics. We need to watch liver tests, kidney blood tests on a regular basis. But we know we all have infections. One is called Q fever. Sometimes staph infections that keep being recurring, leptospirosis, leprosy, some forms of tuberculosis, where people need to be on antibiotics for long, long periods of time. People with chronic obstructive lung disease are been shown to do much better if they're on zithromycin, an antibiotic we commonly use in Lyme, for at least a year. And in being on that antibiotic for 1 year, they end up with less need for going in the hospital. So antibiotics are very much an essential part of treatment in spite of we hear how we shouldn't use antibiotics. Of course, if we shouldn't use them, why are we feeding them to the cows and chickens?
It is interesting that in this controversy, the traditional approach to Lyme is short-term treatment, short-term antibiotics, and the alternative or non-traditional approach is heavily toward the antibiotics. So that was always something that made me grin in the differences. But you also incorporate a lot of nutritional and alternative therapies to help the immune system respond to the treatments and keep these infections down.
Absolutely. You know, that's what we call an integrated approach, because just using antibiotics and just using them in the form of a template and not realizing the individual patient who may respond good or bad and has to be changed is not appropriate. What one has to do, remember, if we're looking at a persisting infection, and we feel that some people have presented with infections that may date back over a decade, the body has paid a price for that minor war that's been going on. With war, infrastructure suffers. So the integrated approach says we need to build you back up because your body has been paying for this chronic inflammation and chronic microbial attack. Your immune system has been under chronic stress. How do we support your immune system? How do we support your general structure? And finally, who are you? We're all mutants. You know, some of us can methylate very well. Some of us need huge amounts of B12 or folic acid. Some of us can detox. George Burns can have his martini and his cigar and live to be 100. And some of us need to have very extra support, even if we can't drink that martini. We need to have nutrients to support our liver because we weren't given the perfect set of genes. So we need to find out who's this person, what do they need for their own metabolism, and then life is funny. We've all been exposed to toxins and poisons. Some of us have been exposed more than we should. We get mercury toxicity. We get lead toxicity. We pick up pesticides. We can't handle them. All these things interfere with treating a chronic infection. So part of this approach is to deal with all these parts as best we can. You know, I'm sure there are many pieces we're inadequate with. Trying to approach this, and as you can see, we end up with a very complex patient. One of the reasons in my practice we don't take insurance is because insurance gives me 10 to 15 minutes to examine a patient, and this patient can't be, it ain't going to get done in 10 to 15 minutes.
And that's the value of a practitioner who will spend the time. I want to thank you, Dr. Fishman, for talking with us about Lyme. And I'm reminded of a very old statement that was considered heresy in medicine for years, Roger Williams' biochemical individuality. That was considered so far out. And I love the fact that's just what you described. What is that patient's individual chemistry? What do we need to do for that patient?
Exactly. And especially when that poor person gets the perfect storm and now they're exposed to this chronic, lingering infection that is poorly recognized on top of who they are.
Well, thank you. And I know we'll have you back on the show again.
Very good. Great talking, Dana.
And listeners, if you want to get in touch with Dr. Fishman, you can go on the website Optimal Health Physicians MD. So it's www.ohpmd.com. And I want to thank you, listeners, for joining us on the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. You can access this show or any of the previous shows through myvillagegreen.com. And please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take, it's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.